Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Margin for error, very slim when you're going against the likely Cy Young winner. The Triple Crown winner for pitchers, Tyreek Skubal, 18-4 this season, led the majors, or led the American League at least, in wins, ERA, and strikeouts. And so you have a very slim margin for error. He pitched 6 shutout innings. Framber pitched 3 1/3 shutout innings. The problem was he had another inning where he didn't shut them out. Yeah. Hit 3 1/3 were pretty good, but it was that damn top of the second that did him in, so close to getting out of it with the near double play. Jeremy Pena, quick relay over to first. Runner beats it out, keeps the inning alive. Next thing you know, boom, boom, boom. 3 straight hard hit balls, and the Tigers are up 3-0. Here's Joe Espada's thoughts. Here are Joe Espada's thoughts on the performance of Framber yesterday.
You know what? I thought his stuff overall was good. His sinker was staying kind of up in the zone a bit, and they got some pretty good swings on those pitches. You know, he battled through 5. He gave us a shot there. But I just thought that, usually when you see that sinker getting away from righties and you start seeing ground balls and the swing and miss on curveballs, that's a sign of where Framber stands that day. But I give it to him. He battled. He gave us 5 innings to give us a chance to win.
Yes, Skubal was Skubal. And we were a little, maybe lulled into a sense of, I didn't feel complacent about yesterday whatsoever. I know how good Skubal is, but the Astros had a really good outing.
They got
4 earned runs against him in the last outing. But Skubal was very much himself. The frustrating part, I guess, in the missed opportunity, the way the game played out, was if you had told me beforehand, yeah, Skubal's good, but he's going to be best ERA in the AL he's got. But what if he's going up against the second and third place best ERA guys in the league? If it was going to be, he's the best in the league, but he's going to be going up against Framber and Blanco, the second and third best ERAs in AL. And the Blanco held up his part of the bargain.
If you told me that before the game, I would have said, okay, something might have gone wrong if Blanco is in there.
Unless they went by plan, 4-5
6
or 5-4
for Framber and then 2 for Blanco. Yeah. Maybe. But that probably would have been my answer. It's like, all right, well, Blanco's getting 2 innings. It means you probably didn't get 6 out of Framber. He got into the 5th. He didn't get 5, Joe. He got into the 5th for you. He didn't get 5 innings for you.
The one thing about yesterday and them using Hader, the more I just sit and reflect on it, now that I've had 12 hours or so to think about it, and the reality of it is, you're in an elimination game today. You know what? Then, using Hader, okay, you used Hader yesterday. You're in an elimination game today, and this might be your last chance to use Hader again. So I'm not worried about him being overly used in a 3-card.
Well, my concern is if you win today and you use him again today, it's using him 3 days in a row.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I guess, when you cross that bridge when you get to it, it very nearly almost worked out. I think we're in agreement that stat they showed on the graphic they showed that said one...
that it's not true.
There's only one victory in the last 500.
Since 1990, teams with a lead of 3 or more runs, or teams trailing by 3 or more runs in the 9th inning, are 1-538.
I don't see how that's possible. I do not see how that's possible.
It seems incredible. I do believe that it's correct.
Now it is 3+. So how many times is that? I'd like to know exactly. Like how many times have there been where it was
right
a 3 run deficit?
Right at 3. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a remarkable stat, and I don't know that it got nearly the attention on the broadcast.
I wonder whether it's true. As people have pointed out, you pointed out, and many of the listeners have pointed out that there were some sketchy and dicey stats up the entire game.
There were some graphics that looked like there was some data entry. They looked like it was more data entry issues, like for Jordan's stats,
or AI. If AI issues maybe, where they're not fact checking it.
Yeah.
You try to write an article with AI or something, you don't check the facts afterwards, you're gonna get exposed.
It's an incredible stat.
Yeah.
Like that somewhere along the way, since 1990, since before the internet, that only one team has found a way to claw their way back from a 3+ run deficit in the 9th inning is amazing. 1-538. And the Astros, by expected batting average, should have been number 2.
Yeah.
You know, they had runners on 2nd and 3rd. Actually, they had runners on 2nd and 3rd for Caratini. He hits that ball out to left field that I swear off the bat looked like it was going to drop, and it just held up there a little too long. Left fielder catches it, And you know what, too? Let's credit. I'm even going to give Chaz an acknowledgement here. Ben, I'm going to acknowledge Chaz McCormick.
Acknowledge me.
That at-bat he had to work the walk to load the bases in the bottom of the ninth to get to Hayward was a hell of an at-bat.
Yeah.
That was an at-bat we have not seen out of Chaz all year long. He fouled off a bunch of pitches.
Yeah, that's right.
He
yeah,
was behind in the count and worked a walk.
Yeah.
He was not tempted by stuff that was getting thrown out of the zone. That was a hell of an at-bat. That was an at-bat where I'm saying, man, start that guy in center field today. I don't need Jake Meyer's bat in there. Get Chaz
no,
back
you're,
in
you're,
there.
No, you're 100% right. I kind of, that was something I felt in the moment, and they commented on it, but it just it fell by the wayside in my memory because it's a walk. But that was,
would,
that
you
was
know
good.
What it wouldn't have if Callis and Blum were talking about it?
Yeah,
because they've
true.
Watched
yeah,
they Chaz understand. All year struggle,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's why. And so that was a hell of an at-bat by Chaz. And then Hayward just hits a smoke shot to first base. What are you going to do? You know, like, what are you going to do?
He said 574 expected batting average on that
570,
hit.
570 expected batting average. Yep. On that line drive.
Torkelson. There's something about that name, Torkelson. It's, no offense to any Torkelsons out there. It just feels like something from a sitcom
and
or something.
I don't like him because he did that thing. They zoomed in on him right after he made the catch. And he does that thing where he kind of flips the ball up and then catches, you know, like flip, like, oh, like, you know, just
oh,
like casually.
Like easy
you know,
peasy.
Like, yeah, yeah, like flips it up and then snags it out of the air, you know, like, oh, you little jerk
Torkelson.
Face.
Oh, the Torkelsons. I never liked
Gross.
That family.
Gross. So the two biggest spotted decisions that are getting the most attention today, you mentioned it, Josh Hader pitching in the ninth inning. I think, if it's a save situation today, Hader's pitching. If it's a save situation in game three, guess who's pitching? Hader. You do get a lot more rest in the postseason than you normally get anyways with off days and things like that. And the Astros, if they do make it to the ALDS, have that weird schedule where they're going to play game one on Saturday, off on Sunday, game two on Monday. So maybe that's part of a spot is thinking is like, hey, look, we want to keep this thing close. Putting Presley in right now in the ninth inning, there's a much better chance that the Tigers are up 4-0 or 5-0. Then we've got no shot.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that was his mindset. And Hader probably, I'm sure he conferred with Hader and said, hey, look, man, if we need you for all three of these games in the wild card round, can you go for us?
Right.
And he's like, yeah, Skip, I've given you two inning outings all year. I've given you an inning and a third a few times. Sure, well, Skip.
The other thing that people were upset about was Pena bunting Pena in that bunting. Situation, even though it was successful. They advanced the runners. I wish we disagreed on this so we could argue about it, but in the moment I felt like, okay, yeah, Pena has not been good today and at the plate, and this makes a lot of sense. Put some stress on them right now. He laid down a successful bunt. There's always a chance with Pena just by virtue of the either the catcher or the pitcher knowing how fast Pena is that there's an errant throw to first. I was okay with that in this situation. But it's we had one person say, well, if they don't trust Pena, then they should move him down in the order. Well, no.
Behind
because
who?
You're arguing that Myers needs to be batting there
right,
or something?
Right.
It's just, no, that's just... And it was more about how he was hitting and seeing the ball that day.
Yesterday,
too.
Yeah.
You know, more so than in general.
Here was Joe Espada on the decision to have Pena bunt first and second, nobody out, Astros trailing by two, Pena up, sacrifice bunt. Here is a spot on the decision.
Yes, you know, just trying to give our guys two shots to give us the lead. They are with Caratini, McCormick, and potentially Hayward. And, you know, Caratini's gotten some big hits for us from the left side and also from the right side, but especially from the left side. You know, hit that ball pretty hard there to left. And then after that, McCormick reaches first, and then we are one swing away. I just want to give our team an opportunity there, second and third. We want out an opportunity to just get multiple runs there, try to keep us in the game.
It was the right decision. And I know that the result wasn't what we wanted. You know, they lose the game 3-1. All three guys after Pena had really good at-bats.
Yeah,
I mean, Caratini and Hayward hit balls that normally would be base hits, and Chaz McCormick worked a walk that probably does a ton for his confidence, if we're being honest. You know, like, that's he had a phenomenal at-bat.
No,
there.
I think that, the way it played out, especially if that graphic was correct and it's that hard to come back from a three-run deficit in the ninth of a playoff game, then that's about as well as it's probably worked out for almost 537 other teams.
Yes.
According to that graphic.
Yep.
People have said, hey, sometimes in the playoffs they show the playoff stats. No, it wasn't. The Jordan when you brought
those
up
were his regular season stats.
It was wrong. They were said it was his regular season stats, but it showed him with like a 700 like OPS,
nine home runs or something.
That
like
is
that.
Something about the. I don't like that they show the playoff stats in the broadcasts during the playoffs when they do that.
Yeah.
It's just it's so misleading.
Yeah,
it doesn't tell you a damn thing.
No, a lot of people weighing in on CJ's letter grade.
Oh yeah.
I asked Seth in the previous segment, what would you give CJ as a letter grade? Seth said B minus. I said A minus.
I revised it to a B plus.
Well, that's okay. There's okay. There's people. There's someone said B minus is spot on so far.
Okay.
That B minus. This is another text. That B minus is more so for the offense.
Right.
That impacting him can't keep giving him long third downs.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I 100% acknowledged all of that when I said it.
Yep.
So that's when you put your headline porn out there about how I was hating on CJ. For me. I'm very unfair when it comes to quarterbacks. I pretty much look at the offense. And it's his the offense, if the gold standard is Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, those are the guys that are in control of everything on the offense. CJ, his offense so far has been, they're the eighth scoring offense, which is better than it feels like just because, as you pointed out, Sean, there's not a lot of scoring in the NFL right now.
Yeah,
the self-inflicted stuff, that's because I feel CJ is that kind of quarterback where, okay, this is your offense. Yeah, I'm going to – the stuff that's not individually his fault, he still gets wrapped up in that. He's the captain of the ship, and it, including Slowick.
Yeah, for sure. No, for sure. Text message, I think he's a solid B. Text message, CJ would be a top five MVP candidate right now, but I'd still give him a B.
Yeah.
Text message, he's had two A games against the Colts and Jags, and he's had two C games in the other games, and I think that's fair. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Heading into the 8 o'clock hour, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but we're going to go into a little more detail. How are the Texans' offseason moves hitting so far? And I'm not just talking about trades and free agency. We're talking contract extensions. How would we rate each of these moves? We're going to run through these. How did Nick Caserio do a quarter of the way through the season this past offseason? We'll talk about that coming up.